I used to live on Fort Myers Beach, Florida, and every year they had this sand sculpting competition. The sculptures were huge and incredible, and I always wondered how they were able to accomplish such a beautiful and intricate piece of art with such a difficult medium that constantly crumbles. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today, my guest has the answers to all my sand sculpting questions. He and his wife left their regular careers to play in the sand as a full-time job.
Hi there. My name is Bill, and I'm a master-level professional sand sculptor.
So what does it mean to be a master-level professional sand sculptor?
You just make it up.
You made up your title?
Yeah, well, you know. You know, Lexi, there's no real rule book on sand sculpting. So, okay. You know, there's not like the PGA or like that where you have, you know, follow all these rules. Essentially, you build a portfolio and then you get invited to compete at that master level, if you will.
Okay. So there's no like governing body to the sand.
No, it's amateur, advanced amateur, or some events, as we call it, semi-pros. And then the master or professional level, the master professional level are pretty much people that do it, you know, like full time. That's what they do for a living.
Okay. And then an amateur just does it occasionally and they're not that good.
Yeah, it's more. Well, they're pretty good. There's some pretty good amateurs out there, but they do it more for more as a hobby.
You know, okay.
I think maybe they have dreams of, like I did back in the day, I have dreams of, you know, becoming a professional sculptor. And that's really the kind of the three levels, if you will.
Okay. And now I think when we say sand sculptor, people in their minds are thinking of, you know, a little kid making a sand castle, and that's not what you do. Tell us some of the stuff that you sculpt out of sand.
I don't like doing sand castles.
I'll bet.
No. It's like, people always ask, you know, will you build a castle? And that's one of my least favorite things to do. I can do it and have done it. But, you know, we do things. I mean, it's really just limited to your imagination. We do things like create a Jeep, a full-scale Jeep for Jeep.
Okay.
That they used in a commercial. We do big, huge, like, logos for a company. That would give them recognition on the beach.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like media. Sand sculptors draw a lot of media attention. People just start flocked to it. So we do everything from creating a sand sculpture for a client based on what they want to creating a birthday sculpture for a little kid that's celebrating his sixth birthday.
That's so much different stuff. So,
yeah. And then there's we do team building too. Like we at corporations like Ford Motor Company, if you will, they hired us to do team building with sand. So essentially we show up with all the tools. We give them a little course on how to do it and divide them up in teams and then help them through the process of doing a little competition.
So you're not just a master, but you're also a teacher.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, I don't like doing lessons a lot. I do like doing when you do lessons, here's what happens. You go to the beach, you meet a family, mom and dad go to the tiki bar and leave their six kids with you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not always like that, but that's kind of my thing on it. But we do summer camps with Siesta Key. It's actually Sarasota County. We do summer camps with them and we get the kids for a week. And that is just like the best of the best because you get the kids starting off. They have no clue what to do. They end up at the end of the week building a big, huge sand sculpture.
You get to watch them progress.
Yeah. And those kids want to be there. So it's a lot of fun.
That's really cool.
You know, it's all fun. People see us on the beach and they go, oh, my God, you have a great job. And, you know, for me, over the years, it's became, you know, more business focused, not doing a lot of sculpting. Doing a lot of sculpting, but not doing what you want to do all the time. But, you know, there's that old saying, sometimes you got to do what you don't want to do what you want to do, right?
Especially if you're making money.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, pretty blessed to be being able to do it the way we are.
It's incredible. And, when did you start doing this?
Actually, Lexi, my wife, Marianne, and I are partners in the company of the Sand Lovers.
Okay.
She has pictures of her as a little kid.
Okay.
I really didn't, you know, I always went to the beach. We're big boaters, so we always went to the beach. And we always played in the sand and did stuff. And then I believe it was like 2001 or two, we saw a big competition on Fort Myers Beach. And we're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea you could, how are you guys doing this? So that just sparked us. So we actually started in 2001.
Okay.
We started getting asked in 2006 to be do professional jobs.
Okay.
And in 2011, we both walked away from corporate executive jobs to do it full time. And
that's when you realized you were like really good at it.
Yes, but okay. Look, I want to be really, really clear, right? The best of the best artists is going to find somebody that's better than them, right?
Yeah.
It's always the case. So we started doing events and competitions, and we both quickly realized that we are not going to be in the top tier here. We're good. You know, we were placing third place and People's Choice and those things. But the level of the sand sculptor for winning competitions for us just wasn't there. So we pushed ourselves more towards the commercial work.
Okay, interesting. Were you artists before in any other sort of form, or is sand your main medium as far as art goes?
No, both of us are artists to some degree, Lexi.
Okay.
Marianne, you know, painting and craftsy and doing various other art projects. We're both have always been that way. I learned to carve wood from my grandfather when I was a kid. Yeah, we're both, I'll say, you know, we have that artsy-fartsy artist background, if you will, but neither of us are educated in art.
And, well, I mean, it kind of comes to people naturally, right? You don't necessarily need to be educated in it when it's art. So obviously you said that people commission you to sculpt stuff. When you let your freak flag fly and you can do whatever you want, how do you decide what to sculpt?
Oh my gosh, I haven't done that in so long. No, I'm kidding. You know, if you were doing a competition or if you're just going to go and play in the sand, I would do a lot of drawings and I just focus on what it is that I'm going to create and what I'm going to do. For me, just the type of person I am, for me to sit down and just start carving something, it's kind of difficult for me to do.
Okay.
That's just my psyche. Marianne, on the other hand, she can, you know, just start carving and carve something.
You think it out and she just goes.
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you reside in Florida in Clearwater? Clearwater?
No, we live in Lee County or Southwest Florida.
Okay.
A town called Boquilla, which is on Pine Island.
Okay.
Near Fort Myers.
Now, do you travel to do this, or are you just doing it in Florida?
No, we travel all over. We just got back. We just managed three sand sculpting competitions up in Michigan, Indiana, and Wisconsin.
Now, one would think to themselves, where are there beaches in those places? I get Michigan.
Right. Well, you know,
and Wisconsin's Indiana, on the lake too.
Yeah, Indiana and Wisconsin, they're both on the Great Lakes. And from that, we started, without getting in all the detail, but we started the Great Lakes Sand Sculpting Championship based on those three events. Well, you know, people always see sand sculpting in Florida, but exactly your reaction, Lexi, how could you? I didn't even know they had beaches there that you could do it.
Right.
Sand isn't like it is in Florida, or at least on the Gulf Coast. But the sand on the Great Lakes, for the most part, we produce some pretty cool sand sculptures.
Does it make a difference what kind of sand you're using, what you choose to sculpt?
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably an hour podcast right there.
Is it harder to use the sand in Florida on the Gulf Coast where it's white as opposed to other places where the sand is maybe muddier or browner or more rocky?
Just so we're clear, the color doesn't matter. there is black sand that's very, very fine.
Okay.
That can be sculpted. What you want is a really super small grain sands, as fine as you can get it. And then you got to mix some clay into it, you know, naturally, and some silt. So if you've ever been to Fort Myers Beach or Siesta Key, they have some of the best sand sculpting sand in the world. Port Aransas, Texas is another one. And they all have big events there. That's why. But if you go to Miami or South Beach, the sand there is horrible. It's worse than the Great Lakes.
Really?
Yeah. So, but we can still do stuff. You just have to learn. We've learned how to do it a little different. It's a whole thing learning what sand works where. Where do you get sand? We do, I would say, a bigger percentage indoors than we do outdoors. So, like, you're going to do, we're going to do something in a mall for a grand opening or something, or, you know, a convention. A vendor at a convention wants a sand sculpture to attract people to come to their booth.
Okay.
So, those things, and then you have to be able to find the sand in those areas and then figure out the logistics of moving it indoors and how not to make a big mess and how not to upset everybody that's running the place because you got sand everywhere. So, you know, it's figuring out all those things. But back to the sand, it really takes, you know, I competed at the master level, I'll say, in like 2009. It was several years later, many years later, before I really felt like a master sand sculptor.
Huh.
The reason is because for all these years, I'm always fighting the sand. And because you have an expectation of, you know, if you have a paintbrush and you're going to do a stroke with this type of paintbrush, that's what it's going to look like, right? Well, it's not the same. The medium of sand is totally different. So you have to kind of teach your brain. And there's a sand, you know, my wife says it all the time. Suzanne Altmar, another sand sculptor, says it, just go with the sand.
Okay.
And once I learned that, it became better for me. And I feel like you can give me any sand and I'll create something out of it. I mean, we've literally showed up on site with a client and they had gravel that they wanted us to create something out of that was nothing like what they originally sent us. So
now you talked about competitions, and I've seen some of the competitions before. I used to live on Fort Myers Beach. What are these?
Yeah.
What are these sculptures judged on? How do they decide the winners? Because they're all incredible.
That's probably the number one most controversial thing about sand sculpting. I'll use the Blue Water Sand Fest in Port Huron as an example.
Okay.
It's a large event. This year they had 18 sand sculptors, so we needed judges to come in, and we got judges that had judged before. So the judges come in and I spend about a half hour with them, training them what they should look for, going over, you know, like what you can do with sand, or you can do with clay, but you can't do with sand. So here's some of the things that you should look for. And then they have a score sheet, and on that score sheet, it's points rated, right? It's like 10 points for the most artistic, 10 points for a cut through, 10 points for. So all that said, Lexi, what it honestly comes down to, the wow factor.
Okay.
They walk out and they go, oh my gosh, that's my favorite. And then they go on this point system. They go, okay, that one, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. They got 20 points. And oh, well, that one's pretty good. 4, 4, 4. I mean, I want to tell you that there is a surefire way of doing it. There's just not. There's it's the wow factor. It's like anything else in our lives.
Yeah.
The wow factor. You know, people watch TV shows because of the wow factor, right?
True, yeah.
It's the same thing with sand sculpting.
So they're not necessarily, the judges are not necessarily sand sculptors themselves. They're getting a lesson.
Right. Yeah. sometimes we have a sand sculptor available that's a professional master level. You don't want just anybody to sand sculptor to judge, but we've had it where we've had certain sand sculptors around and that were able to help us and judge, which sometimes makes a difference in the judging score, but and other times don't. Well, you know when it's right, because there's three elements of judging. There's the judge's choice, first, second, and third. And then there's people's choice, where the people vote, which is their favorite.
Okay.
And then the sculptor's choice. So all the sculptors get to vote for the sculpture that they like, what's the ones their favorites.
Okay.
So when all three of those align, you know that you're doing something right, because if all three of them, or people's choice and sculptor's choice, if any one of the two kind of mix and are the same, that tells you that the judging is pretty much spot on.
Okay.
It's absolutely the hardest thing.
It seems hard. Yeah. Do you ever judge?
No. No. Yeah. When I judge, I tell them, okay, well, if you have any comments, our email address is junkmail@thesandlovers.com.
People don't like a judge. Oh,
we try to stay away from it, Lexi. I don't even like judging when we do team building stuff. You know, the clients ask us to, and we do. Mainly because it's so subjective. But in the events that our company manages, Fort Myers Beach, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin, we don't judge those. And that's because we would literally be judging our peers. I don't think it's a good, there are sand sculptors that compete in their own events and win first place. I think they compete and they judge and the whole kit and caboodle, but it's not something our company does, and we don't want that reputation.
So I was looking through the photos of some of your stuff, and I saw one for Good Morning America. Did they hire you to sand sculpt for them for Good Morning America?
Actually, we were hired there by the city of Sanibel.
Oh, okay.
To do that, because, and if you're familiar with Fort Myers Beach, then you know what Sanibel is. Sanibel started, that was the first National Seashell Day.
Okay.
So they had Good Morning America come out and do a big spiel on it. And so they asked us to create a sand sculpture for it. And that's
okay.
What that was for.
Were you honored? It seems like that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, those things come along. Yeah. And, you know, we're pretty fortunate that we've had quite a few of those different ones that, you know, they're fun to do because, you know, you're doing it for a huge cause, if you will, you know, like those are a lot of fun to do sometimes.
I'll bet. Now, the technical part of it. Is it just sand that you're using, or are there other items underneath the sand? Do you have something that's shaped beforehand, or is it, what are the other tools that you use in order to create these things?
There's big, huge wires and conduit underneath that hold them together.
Okay.
I'm totally kidding.
Like, oh, I believed you. It seems like there are, though.
You would just not believe, you know, after what, 20 years of doing this, the stuff that people say, Bill, you know, what would you add sugar to it to hold it together? Do you, you know, what do you add to it? There, in a competition setting, we add nothing to a sand sculpture.
Okay.
Most of the ones that you're seeing on our website, not one of those has anything added to the sand to hold them together.
Wow.
Now, there has been occasion, where, not in a competition, but where we've created stuff out of foam.
Okay.
And then covered it with sand just because it was a client's request to have it very, very intricate.
Okay.
That doesn't happen very often. And the reason that doesn't is because it escalates the cost through the roof. 90% of sand sculptures that you're going to see on the internet have nothing in them. They're just sand and water.
Okay.
And we do that by compressing the sand. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to take some type of form, a wood form or a round plastic form, and you're going to put sand in it. And you're going to compress it in layers, Lex. So you're going to do like 3 or 4 inches of sand, water, mix it, and then compress it like with your hand or big tampers, sometimes power tampers when you're talking big, huge forms. And you're going to build them, the forms, like kind of like a wedding cake, if you will, where in tiers, so that you could stand up on it and reach the next level.
Wow.
That makes sense?
Yes, so, absolutely.
That's how you see when you look at them and you see like they're 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
Basically, that's they're doing it. We always do it the forms in 2 foot, basically 2 foot layers and or height. That way we can, it's comfortable enough to kind of walk up on, if you will.
Right.
So let's say you did an 8x8 box as the base. Then the next box would be a 7x7 or a 6x6, 5x5. And you keep going, packing those in layers as you go and tamping the sand down.
Holy cow.
And then you take off the top layer and work your way to the bottom.
So the year that I moved to Fort Myers Beach, that Christmas, my friend and I decided that we were going to go build a sandman instead of a snowman. And we learned immediately that the sand does not behave in the same way that the snow does. And we could not make a sandman like a like you would a snowman.
Right.
Are you constantly watering it down?
Yeah.
Because as soon as it would dry is when it would just disintegrate in front of us.
Yeah. So have you ever been, you've said you've been to a sand sculpting competition.
Yeah, afterwards. I've seen them afterwards.
So if you see those big ones like that, on average, they use about 600 gallons of water.
Really?
Yeah. So we literally, in all of our events, we run water hoses to each of the plots for the sand sculptors.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes we run like on Fort Myers Beach that event in its heyday, if you will, 2019, I believe was the last year that we did it. We had 50 sand sculptors there. So we had PVC run throughout the whole beach with spigots coming up. So that's how much water we use.
That's a lot.
So that's the big thing that people don't get is that using water and compression, those are the two key elements to it.
Okay. It's a lot less than I was expecting. I mean, not less water, but a lot less elements than I was expecting.
Well, it's relatively, people always ask me, what's the secret? There really isn't a secret. It's really just a process. I mean, it really, once you have a class on it or you see a big, a demonstration or what, then you go, oh my gosh, that's like, I can do that.
It makes sense.
I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today, I'm talking with Bill, a professional master-level sand sculptor with the Sand Lovers.
How long does it take to create a large piece, or is there like a time limit when you do competitions?
In a competition, it is timed. It's specifically timed. So each sand sculptor, let's say, starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they work till 12. They take an hour for lunch, and then we work from like 1 to 5 or 1 to 6, depending on the event. So they do that for 3 days or 4 days, depending on the event. It generally ranges between 20 and 24 hours over 3 days, specifically timed. And they have everybody has the exact same amount of sand. Typically, for a solo, that's about eight, nine tons of sand. Yeah.
And does the sand always come from the beach that you're on, or do you have to like bring your own sand ever?
It's both. There's very few events that actually use the beach sand. Fort Myers Beach does. There's one in Treasure Island that does. There's one in Clearwater that does. There's one in Texas that does. For the most part, the rest of them, they truck in sand and dump it on the beach.
Okay.
So they don't really do it to just fool anybody. They honestly do it just to have a better sand sculpture. I don't take it as I'm picking on any of them. Because we have the three that we're doing now up in the Great Lakes. One of them, we bring in custom sand.
Okay.
But the other two actually use the native beach sand.
Okay.
So, yeah.
When it's all over, what happens to the sculptures?
They go away.
you take them away, or they just let the ocean take them away?
No, we knock them down and put the beach back how we found it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing that Fort Myers Beach, or Siesta Key Crystal Classic is another good example. We have to disrupt the beach when we build all the, I mean, you stop, think about it. We're moving 1,000 tons of sand on the beach. So, that has to strategically come from certain areas and then put into piles. So typically we scrape the beach down to about 4 inches. We make big, huge piles. Then from those big, huge piles, we count how many loads for one sand sculptor. Then basically what happens at that point is we've disrupted the beach, and we have all these permits that, you know, from Florida Department of Environmental Protection, $10,000 fine if we don't put it back. So we typically have 72 hours to put the beach back how we found it.
Oh, okay.
And that's the same in Michigan, and it was the same. It's the same in Indiana and Wisconsin.
Okay, interesting.
So when you see them go away, you know, everybody thinks, because most events, Lexi, today, they charge an entry fee.
Yeah.
So people always have the idea. This year we did the Wisconsin Sand Sculpting Championship in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and it was the first year. Well, there must have been 20, 30 people that came on Monday to see the sand sculptures because they just thought we were going to leave them. And then they were mad because we were taking them down. So a couple things with that. One, an event like that is raising money for charity. You know, so I think that I don't know how much they raise. Maybe they're $20,000 that is going back into local community. So we don't want it just to be free on Monday. We want people to come during the event.
Yeah.
So and then the other thing is that we have our permits. We have to put that beach back how we found it. In that case, we had 24 hours to put it back exactly how we found it. So then the last is just the liability. You know, if a little kid got hurt or, you know, God forbid, got buried by, you know, that's a lot of sand up in the air. Sometimes, you know, that slides down and can bury a little kid. Or, you know, this just a whole bunch of legal stuff.
Right.
And I just don't, I'm just not, I've never, ever been a fan of leaving them stand. Never.
When you're tearing them down, do you feel bad? Like you've created this thing and you put your heart and soul into it and now you're knocking it down?
That's a really good question. you know, it used to bother me, but now it doesn't. I'll take the loader and smash them down myself. It doesn't. But now my wife, Marianne, she walks away.
Oh.
It's still to this day after, I mean, we've done well over 300 sand sculptures. I think we're pushing 400, you know, professional ones.
Right.
She still to this day walks away. She just can't watch it.
I feel like I'd do the same thing. I'd probably have to not watch it be taken down as well. Is this a sort of thing that anybody can learn to do, or does it take like a special artistic talent to be really good at it?
No, you have to live in Boquilla, Florida. Anybody can learn it. Anybody. There's so many sand sculptors out there, Lexi, that treat it like, I can't show you or tell you about it because then you might take my job. And I can't understand why someone would be that insecure, but believe that from a lesson, they're going to take their job because there are sand sculptors out there that do 10 lessons a day or 5 lessons a day. And we're not seeing an overwhelming number of new sand sculptors.
Yeah.
Anybody can learn it. Anybody can learn it if you just try it. I mean, that's really the key. So.
Now, you said that you quit your corporate job to do this full time. What was your gig before? What did you do for a living?
I spent a lot of time with the Department of Defense, about 20 years. And then I worked for Lazy Boy as a corporate project manager for them. So my background really is logistics and project management, if you will.
Okay.
But my last job that I walked away from was I was a town manager here in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it was.
It's very different from doing the sand sculpting. It's got to be a lot more fun doing what you're doing now.
So I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
So I left the town management start. Basically what happened, Lexi, was I had a really bad experience with the politics and had, the chairman of the board came into my office and told me he was newly elected. And he told me what his goal was to get rid of me. Long story short is then my wife came for lunch, something like that. And she said, you know, if you want to leave, we can do this. And so we made that decision. And here's the thing. I knew that if I walked away and went to be a professional sand sculptor and made 10 grand a year going from the executive to that, that I knew that we wouldn't be happy. Right. I mean, you can't have that big of a lifestyle. So anyway, we'd made the decision. And then you remember the big BP oil spill?
Oh yeah. I was living there at that time.
So when that happened, Var Beach up there, they asked us to come and do start a sand sculpting competition up there, because BP gave them money to show everybody that, hey, the beach is fine.
Right.
So we went up there and we got some other sand sculptors to come, and we ran this event, and we did it the first year. And then the second year we decided, well, let's bring in some better sand and create something really cool. Cause actually the sand there was horrible for sand sculpting as far as getting any height. So we found this red, really good sand. Well, this is on the National Seashore. The sand is pure, beautiful white sand. So we get this red sand and we bring it in and we put it on in the parking lot, not close to, but oh my gosh, I ended up in front of the county commissioners. Like the next night they had a meeting. So here I am right back in the politics of explaining why we
tried
had
to
red
get out
sand.
And you got right back
in. Got right back in. But it was the red sand. They were concerned that we were going to wreck it. So
I can see them. I can see that. They were very touchy about the sand down there.
Yeah, but that
you get to be a part of wedding proposals. People can hire you to sculpt some sand for their wedding proposals.
Yeah, and weddings. Yep.
Oh, and for the actual weddings. How many of those have you gotten to take part in?
Oh, a lot. We were the proposal side. I don't know how many. I don't know that we've ever counted.
It looked like a lot on your website.
A lot. Yeah, a lot. For a while, you know, it was a big thing. It was everybody was wanting to do it. It's a lot of fun. And I'll say that I got to add to that we are 100% all yeses. They said yes.
Okay, good. That would be really awkward if they said no, and I'd need to hear everything about it. If someone wanted to hire you to do that, where would they go?
To thesandlovers.com.
Thesandlovers.com. How many other professional sand sculptors would you guesstimate there are, like, in the United States?
Just thesandlovers.com. That's all. Wait, let me put on my thesandlovers.com. There are, I would say, you know, in the world, a couple hundred, 250.
Okay. It's not a lot.
There's actually a lot more in Europe than there are in the United States.
Really? I wonder why that is.
The reason is, it's a very easy reason. They support the arts. It's very easy in Europe because they support the arts. It's very easy for someone that lives in the Netherlands to go to art school or to be supported.
Okay.
And here it's not. Here it's like, you want to be what? You want to be an artist? What? you know, so there is that huge fear of being a starving artist, right? So it's a little bit different. Here, I would say in the United States, maybe there's 50 professional. There's probably even maybe, but even so, let's say there's 100. Okay. I don't think that number's that high, but let's say that there's 100. Of that 100, how many of them do it actually for a living and treat it like a business is even, you know, a very small percentage of that.
You're the only one I've ever met.
And that, you know, that I guess that's a good thing.
It's very good for you.
it's a difficult business to get into. But it's also, it can be very rewarding. And I think there's probably not a lot of people in it because artists tend to be more, how do I say this and say it politely? Artists tend to be more on the, you know, I'll do it for a case of beer kind of thing. They're not looking at it as a business. And I'm going to write a book or I'm going to start my podcast. I do have a podcast with a friend of mine, but I'm going to start my podcast, The Dirt and Sand Sculpting, and tell all the dirty secrets about all the sand sculptors through the years.
Well, that is one I will listen to.
there was a sand sculptor that was on Fort Myers Beach, and they were charging $25 an hour for sand sculpting lessons.
Okay.
So they lived in Lehi, which, you know, that is 30 miles, right?
Not near the beach.
No, it is not near the beach. It was not like they lived in a condo right on the beach. Okay. So this person's doing it for a lesson for $25, driving all the way from Lehi, then paying $10 to park, which is sometimes cheap on Fort Myers Beach.
Yep.
And then driving all, you know, spending an hour. And it's not really an hour because you got to set up, which is 30 minutes before. So you're 2 hours into it, not including your driving time. So all said and done, you're making $25 for 3 hours, right? That's, I mean, crazy. The business sense of that, it just is irritating.
Yeah.
Why someone would think that they're not worth, you know, more than that.
Artists don't tend to have a whole lot of business sense.
Right.
They're right, creative. Right.
And it's not, I'm not knocking anybody by saying that.
I think most of them know.
Yeah. And maybe they don't care. And that's a fine thing too. I mean, that's a good thing too.
So I only have about 2.5 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get your information out there. When is your next event?
Not until, well, right now, because we don't know what's going on with Fort Myers Beach, Lexi.
Right.
You know, because of Hurricane Ian, and the event had stopped because of COVID.
Right.
And then we were going to bring it back, and then Ian hit. So I'm not sure what's going to. So our next event would not be until June next year.
Next year.
And Michigan City, Indiana.
Okay.
Anybody can go to our website. And we have a website called sandsculptingevents.com.
Okay.
That lists all the events, or at least major events in the United States. So the one question you didn't ask me is what happens. What's the worst thing that can happen to a sand sculpture?
Well, what is the worst thing? Yeah, what is the worst thing?
Kids or drunk guys.
And there's plenty of those on the beach, especially Fort Myers Beach.
Yes, ma'am. Everybody thinks it's rain, but it's not. It's the rain, because what holds them together, now you've learned.
Water.
So the rain tends to make them a little stronger. You know, the rain will put little pock marks on them, but really the rain will hold it together a little stronger. And then when you ask if we added anything to the sand, we don't, but we do spray them with Elmer's glue and water.
Okay. Okay.
And what that does is it stops them from drying out. So the worst thing for a sand sculpture isn't necessarily rain or water. It is they're constantly drying out. So they're going to dry out and blow away. So we use what we call the secret sauce or windscreen, but it's essentially Elmer's glue, heavily diluted, put in a spray bottle, and we mist the sand sculpture with it.
Okay. And now this is about to kick me off because Zoom only gives me 40 minutes. So I'm going to thank you for joining me today. And I really appreciate you taking the time. And I'll make sure to post links to all the stuff that you said.
All right.
I put this podcast out there.
That was fun, Lex.
Links to follow Bill and the Sand Lovers are posted with this podcast. And if you have a moment, check out their sculptures. The art is incredible, and you won't believe they're made of sand. Thanks for joining me this week on Delightfully Different. Coming up next week, I talk to a juggalo. That's a fan of the band The Insane Clown Posse and the other groups on their record label. He has an incredible story of being labeled as a gang member because of his love of the band, who went to prison and turned his life around, and I can't wait for you to hear the story. If you or someone you know lives life differently, I'd love to chat. Email me at lexiontheradio@gmail.com. That's L-E-X-I on the radio at gmail.com, or go to delightfullydifferentpodcast.com. Until next Thursday, have a delightful week.